welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's golden years. I'm your host, Mark Livonier, with you for an hour of radio westerns. Later on, it's Gunsmoke from 1956, but right now it's Tales of the Texas Rangers featuring movie actor Joel McRae in a February 17, 1952 NBC broadcast called Cold Blood.
Before we bring you today's story of the Texas Rangers, let's talk a moment with Phil Harris and Alice Faye during a break in the rehearsal for today's Phil Harris-Alice Faye show.
Thank you, Bill Foreman. You know, folks, I welcome this opportunity to talk with you about the great lineup of stellar entertainment in store for you this evening right here on NBC. Right after Tales of the Texas Rangers, Tallulah Bankhead will bring you all of her darling guest stars on the big show. And I know that she has some of your favorite entertainers with her today, and I hope you'll listen to the big show. And then, right after Tallulah and her guests, it's time for my show, the show...
Our show.
You could be right. Our show, the Phil Harris, Alice Faye show with Frankie Remley, Brother William, Julius Abruzzo, and little Allison Phyllis.
And don't forget the Theater Guild on the air, Phil.
That's right. Immediately following our show, you'll hear your favorite stars of Hollywood and Broadway in great plays on Theater Guild on the air. So we hope you'll stay tuned right here to NBC.
Thank you, Phil Harris and Alice Faye. And now, here's today's adventure of the Tales of the Texas Rangers.
Of the Texas Rangers, starring Joel McRae as Ranger Jace Pearson. Another authentic reenactment of a case transcribed from the files of the Texas Rangers. Dates and places in the following story are fictitious for obvious reasons. The events themselves are a matter of record. And now, from the files of the Texas Rangers, the case called Cold Blood.
It is 7:30 on the night of April 22, 1935. In a shack in a poor section of Lundy, an East Texas town, a young widow feeds her baby. As the room grows dark, she gets up and crosses to an oil lamp on the table.
Now you hush, honey. Don't you be crying. We'll have us a nice bright light in just a minute. There. You see, honey, I told you I'd get rid of the shadow.
Then. It's Eli, Nellie. Open up, quick.
Eli? What you doing off the farm on a weeknight?
Don't stand talking, Nellie. Let me in. Lock it. Lock the door.
Eli, you're hurt. You got yourself in trouble, ain't you?
Let me sit down. I got a rest. Rest. Nellie, put out the light.
All right, Eli. What kind of trouble you in?
I run all the way from the farm. All the way.
I'm your sister, Eli. I got a right to know what kind of trouble.
Nellie, I'm scared, Nellie. I'm scared bad.
Oh, honey, don't. You sit right there. I'm going to get some water. I'll wash the blood off your face.
Don't light the lamp.
Don't you worry. There's some light from the street. I see pretty good in the dark anyhow. Hush, baby. I'm busy now. And this will hurt some, Eli. There.
You're a good sister, Nellie. You always was a good sister.
Hold still. You gonna tell me about
it? Miss Dean. She dead.
Miss Dean?
Mr. Dean, say I kill her. He come down to my shack. Say Miss Dean dead and I kill her. Say my coat was in the room where she's dead. He beat me,
you
Nellie.
You fight him?
No. He's all right. I tripped him. He fell on the floor and I run away. All the way from the farm I run.
Eli, you ought to go to the shack.
I can't. You know that. I go into town.
I know.
I gotta hide. I gotta hide fast.
What good's that gonna do? They'll get you. They'll get you sure.
I got to hide. A few days they don't find me, maybe I can get out of the state. Then they'll never find me.
Oh, they'll find you. Where are you figuring on hiding?
You know that old shack in the swamp? Place we used to play when we was kids?
It ain't good enough. They'll find you, sure. But you're right. You gotta hide, and you gotta have food.
Nellie.
Uh-huh.
There's something you ain't asked me yet.
Well, look, here's a loaf of bread and some smoked meat. It ain't much, but it'll keep you going a spell.
Nellie, you ain't asked me if I did kill Miss Dean.
I don't have to ask, Eli. You're my brother, and that's all I need to know.
You're a good sister.
If you're going to hide, you better get out of here.
Yeah, they'll be here looking for more.
Let them come. They ain't going to hear nothing from me. You be careful, Eli. You be awful careful.
I will. Maybe when I get away, I can write you. Let you know where I am.
You don't write me nothing. You hear nothing. I'll let me know scarf first. Go ahead now.
So long.
So long. Honey. God bless you. Oh, God.
Sheriff was notified by Ralph Dean, a farmer, that his wife had been murdered. He hurried to the scene of the crime and then requested assistance from the Texas Rangers. Shortly past 10 p.m., Rangers Jace Pearson and Clay Morgan arrived at the Dean farmhouse. The sheriff met them at their car.
Howdy, Sheriff.
Well, howdy, boys.
Howdy.
Body's in the bedroom. I left everything just like it was.
Her husband still around?
Yeah. He was going to take off, but I figured you'd want to talk to him. He's waiting in the front room now. Come on.
Where'd he want to take off for?
Well, you know how it is, Jace. Dean says it was his hired hand killed his wife. He's boiling mad. He wants to go out looking for the boy himself.
What's the hired hand's name?
Eli Wilbur. Been with Dean near 5 years. We haven't been able to locate him since the murder. Ralph, this is Ranger Pearson and Ranger Morgan.
I do, Mr. Dean.
We're sorry to hear about your wife.
Yeah. Glad you're here, Rangers. Maybe you can talk some sense into the sheriff.
Now, you look here, Ralph.
You look here, Sheriff. I told you when I called you, Eli Wilbur killed my wife. What are you waiting for? Why ain't you got a posse out tracking him down?
Because I'm handling this my own way, Ralph.
Your way? You man be pamming around like this. Why, he's probably miles away by now. He's got to be killed, I tell you. Just the way he killed my wife.
If he's guilty, we'll get him.
You'll get him. I'm telling you one thing, Sheriff. If that boy ain't taken care of, I'm going to see to it you ain't elected again.
Listen here, Ralph. Dean, I ain't taking threats from you nor nobody else.
Why, you...
Just a minute, both of you. Sheriff, take Clay into the bedroom where he can have a look at the body. I want to ask Mr. Dean a few questions.
All right, Jace. Yeah, right through here, Clay.
Yeah. What makes you think Eli killed your wife, Mr. Dean?
Think? I know. His coat's in there, isn't it? Ripped in half, pieces still in Ethel's hands. She must... Ethel. She's dead. She's dead, Ranger.
What time did you find your wife's body?
Oh, about 6. When I come in from the fields. And went out pulling stumps till then.
Wasn't Eli with you?
No. Played sick today. But I'd only known...
Did Eli come into the house often?
Of course not. Only when I called him.
Thanks, Mr. Dean. That'll be all for now.
You're going to get the sheriff to organize that posse?
That won't be necessary.
Well, then I'm going to organize one of my own. I've got these friends here. That boy ain't going to get away with this. We're going to catch him and...
You let us handle this. We'll get the person who killed your wife.
All right, Ranger. There's no law against taking a little trip into the swamps to hunt gators, is there?
Take my advice, Mr. Dean. Don't interfere with the law.
Strangled, Jace. Must have put up quite a fight from the look of the room.
These bruises on her neck are pretty bad. Man who put them there must have had strong fingers.
Yeah, I've had a good look around. Aside from that coat she's holding, there's not much in the way of evidence.
The coat belongs to the boy, all right. I'd say it looks mighty bad for him.
He can't get far away. We'll put out a bulletin on him.
If he's gone into those swamps, all the bulletins in the world ain't gonna do no good.
Has he got any relatives in town?
A sister, Nellie Johnson. My deputy was there early this evening. She wouldn't tell him nothing. Don't believe you'll get much information from her.
We'll try our luck anyhow. Come on, Clay.
Yes?
You Nellie Johnson?
Yes, sir.
We'd like to talk to you.
Oh, come in, sir. You too, sir.
We're looking for your brother, Nellie. Can you tell us where he is?
He didn't do it, Mr. Ranger. I know Eli didn't kill Miss Dean.
How'd you know Miss Dean was killed, Nellie?
That gentleman who worked for the sheriff. He come here early tonight looking for Eli. Say Miss Dean was dead. I told him Eli didn't do it.
Maybe he didn't, but he shouldn't have run away.
If he run away, it's only because he's scared.
Have you seen Eli tonight?
No, sir. I ain't seen him for a full week. He stay out to Miss Dean's farm.
You have any idea where he might be hiding?
Oh, no, sir. Can't say as I do.
Nellie... If Eli killed Mrs. Dean, we're going to catch him. He'll be punished for what he did. But if he's innocent, we're going to protect him. You understand that, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Then you know we have to find him. We can't help him if we don't.
Mr. Ranger, you've got to believe what I say. I don't know where Eli is. I just don't know.
You're sure he wasn't here earlier this evening?
Oh, yes, I'm real sure.
Nellie, these two spots here by the table leg, you know what they are?
No, sir. I don't know.
They're fresh bloodstains, Nellie. You want to tell us how they got there?
Well, sir... Oh, yes, sir. I remember now. When I was fixing supper, I cut my finger.
Where'd you cut your finger? Show us.
Oh, Mr. Ranger, please.
If you didn't cut your finger, somebody else must have left those blood spots.
He was here tonight, wasn't he, Nellie? Eli was here.
Mr. Ranger.
Why don't you tell us what you know? It'll be better all the way around.
I don't want him to get hurt. My baby brother, I know he didn't do nothing. I don't want him to get hurt.
He won't get hurt, Nellie. We can promise you that. He was here, wasn't he?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He was here.
When?
About 7:30, just after he run from the farm.
Why'd he run away?
He found out Miss Dean was dead, and he was scared of Miss Dean and scared the people in town to do something to him.
You know where he is now?
Yes, sir. Hiding in the shack in the swamp. Place we call Old Moccasin Shack. Oh, please, Mr. Ranger. Don't let nothing happen to Eli. Don't let nothing happen to him.
Don't worry, Nellie. We'll see Eli gets a fair deal all the way through. By the way, how'd he get hurt?
Hurt?
Well, he must have been bleeding when he came here. How'd it happen?
You won't tell Mr. Dean I told you?
Just tell us how it happened, Nellie.
Well, sir, Mr. Dean come after Eli. Say he killed Miss Dean. He beat Eli. Make Eli's face bleed.
All right, Nellie. Thanks.
You know, Jace, she might have been telling the truth about how Eli got hurt. But it could be Mrs. Dean scratched him while they were struggling.
I don't think so. There would have been skin under her fingernails, and there wasn't.
But if Dean did beat up Eli, it means he saw him after the murder.
Uh-huh. If he did, it's something he forgot to tell me.
Uh-huh. And maybe we ought to have another talk with him.
We will, after we pick up Eli. Find out how to get to Moccasin Shack. The sheriff wasn't in his office, but his deputy told us how to reach the shack Nellie had described. We drove to the edge of town, unloaded our horses from the trailer, and rode toward the swamp. We reached it about 9 that morning and started in.
Shouldn't be far now, Jace. There's the three oaks and the willow the deputy told us about.
Uh-huh. Shack ought to be about 100 yards in from here.
Not exactly the kind of place I'd like to spend a vacation.
Well, I never heard anybody advertising it as a resort, but... Fool, Charlie, fool. Clay, listen.
Sounds like we're not the only ones out after Eli this morning.
Yeah, reckon Dean didn't take my advice after all. Let's get going.
That could mean a lot of trouble.
At least they don't seem to know where Eli is.
Let's hope we do.
I got a hunch Nellie was telling the truth. If Eli hasn't heard those dogs and taken off deeper into the swamp, we ought to find him.
Well, it won't take us long to know. Chase, there's the shack.
Oh, fool, Charkey.
Oh, Dad, fool.
Stay on your toes, Clay. We've got to make a break.
Yeah. Looks empty, Chase.
Yeah. I thought it was at first, too.
Huh?
This piece of rotten flooring. All right, Eli. Come up out of there.
You Ranger. Thank God. Oh, thank God.
Well, I'll be under the floorboard.
Please, please, don't let them get me. Please.
Nobody's going to get you, Eli. You're coming back to town with
us. They catch me, they won't listen to nothing I got to say. I hear them the whole night. They got dogs.
Crawl up, Eli.
Yes, sir. Please, don't let them hurt me, Mr. Ranger. They want to kill me. I know they want to kill me.
Don't worry. If anybody's going to get you, you'll have to get us first.
In just a moment, we will continue with Tales of the Texas Rangers, starring Joel McRae as Ranger Jace Pearson.
None of us would knowingly betray our country or endanger our loved ones and homes. Yet each of us betrays all these when we are tolerant of or don't fight back at group prejudice. When we stand for such hate, we're doing the very thing that communists want us to do. They'd like to see us divided. Christian against Jew, white neighbor against colored neighbor, or native-born against foreign-born. If our enemies could divide all the small groups that make up this country, then we would be weak and could be easily overcome. Now, as probably never before, we need to be united as an example to our allies who look to us for hope and as a warning to our enemies that we are truly a United States of America. Work for understanding. Accept or reject people on their individual worth. Refuse to listen to or spread rumors against a race or religion. Speak up, wherever you are, against prejudice. And now, back to Tales of the Texas Rangers.
We continue now with Tales of the Texas Rangers and our authentic story, Cold Blood.
We got Eli out of the shack and onto my horse. As we started for town, we could hear the sound of dogs and men getting closer. When we reached solid ground and came into a clearing, we saw them ranged across the path we had to take. There were eight of them on horses with Dean at their head. The group of men was silent as we stopped at the edge of the clearing, 30 yards away from them.
They look pretty mean, Jace. They're all armed.
They're going to get me. I know they're going to get me.
Take it easy, Eli.
What do you say, Jace?
We'll go through. Walk your horse slow and don't say anything unless they speak to us. Eli?
Yes, sir.
There's a fight and something happens to our horse. Stay close to me.
Yes, sir.
You reckon they'll be crazy enough to try anything?
It won't be long till we find out. Get up, Charkey.
Don't look like they're going to move, Jason.
Maybe not.
Morning, Rangers.
Morning, Mr. Dean. If you don't mind, we'd like to get past.
Sure, Angel, sure. Just thought as how since we all met out here, we'd have a nice, friendly talk.
Yeah.
I'm glad you mentioned it, because I want to have a talk with you. Right now, I'm a little busy.
Yeah. Got yourself a prisoner, I see. We didn't do so good in our hunt. Whole night at it, and we're empty-handed.
Too bad. If you and your friends would get out of the way, we'd like to get our man back to town.
Expect you would. Wonder how it would be if we helped you. Be a shame if he got away after you took so much trouble getting him.
We'll manage.
All right, Ranger. Open up there for the Rangers, boys.
Thanks. I meant what I said about that talk. We'll be out to see you this afternoon.
Sure, anytime. And Ranger.
Yeah?
Just make sure that boy there gets the kind of trial he deserves.
I believe he will. Now. It was past noon when we got Eli back to town and into a cell. He was still scared, but recovered enough to eat a good-sized meal. At 1 o'clock, we went up to question him. The sheriff led Clay and me along to the cell block.
Well, one thing, Jace, you can be sure Eli's going to get all the attention we can give him. He's the only prisoner we got now.
Yeah, probably better that way. Don't know what Dean and his gang might try.
Ah, oh, them. Clay told me you had a little trouble on the way in, but I don't expect him to try much now. Bunch of blowhards.
No, the same. I wouldn't like to have been Eli if they had caught him out in that swamp.
Yeah, that's different. But here in the lockup, me and my deputy's on the job. I'll be down the corridor. Holler when you want me.
Thanks, Sheriff. Hello, Eli. You feel better now?
Yes, sir. Much better. Not so scared now.
Good. We just want to ask you a few questions.
Yes, sir.
Eli, did you kill Mrs. Dean?
No, sir.
Your coat was found in her hands.
Mr. Ranger, I don't know how come my coat got in Mrs. Dean's hands, but I didn't kill her.
Did you tell Mr. Dean you were sick yesterday afternoon?
Sick? No, sir. I've never been sick a day in my life.
Mr. Dean said that you told him you were.
Wonder how come he said that? He knowed I wasn't sick. Sent me out in the field with the mule, told me to pull stumps.
And you went out there?
Yes, sir. I was out there all afternoon. Come in toward evening.
Mr. Dean with you?
No, sir. He stayed in to the house. Said Miss Dean she don't feel so good. She didn't sound like she was sick, though.
How do you mean?
I come up to the house after lunch to find out what I got to do the rest of the day. I hear Miss Dean talking pretty loud to Mr. Dean.
Could you hear what she was saying?
No, sir. I don't listen much no more. Miss Dean, she always speaks right sharp to Mr. Dean.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Eli, when did you see Mr. Dean last?
When he come to my shack after I come in from the field.
Well, why'd he come to see you?
Because Miss Dean was dead. Mr. Dean say I'd done it. He wouldn't listen to nothing. I didn't kill Miss Dean. I swear I didn't.
Did anybody else see you out in the field yesterday afternoon?
Well, no, sir. Don't reckon nobody did.
Eli, were you working all afternoon?
Yes, sir. I was working the whole... No, sir, I forgot. I quit once.
What for?
I stopped to kill me a rattler.
You what?
There was a big rattler curled up in the sun next to a stump. I didn't see him till the mule squealed. Then I picked up a rock and let fly. Killed him right off.
Did you leave the snake lying where you killed him?
Yes, sir. I got no use for no rattler, dead or alive.
Eli, this is important. I want you to tell me exactly where you killed that rattlesnake.
Well, sir, it was someplace in Mr. Dean's north field. But so much happened since yesterday, I don't recollect just where.
Reckon we'll have to stage our own private snake hunt.
Uh-huh.
Some folks say it's bad luck to kill a rattler, Mr. Ranger. Appears like mine's already started.
Don't worry, Eli. Killing that rattler might bring you more good luck than anything you ever did. We found the dead rattler where Eli said he'd killed it, in Dean's north field. We took the remains of the snake with us, figuring our lab could tell us approximately how long it had been dead. Then we decided to call our hand with Dean, but he wasn't home. We headed for town. It was 5:20 when we pulled up in front of the sheriff's office. He was standing outside. I could tell something was wrong even before he reached the car.
Chase, Clay, I was just going to call your headquarters and have them get you fellows on the radio.
What's wrong?
Somebody just broke in the jail. They took Eli away.
Holy!
Who was it, Sheriff?
That's just it, Chase. I don't know. I'd swear it was Ralph Dean and his bunch, but I don't know.
Well, how'd it happen?
Well, everything was quiet. There wasn't even nothing you could feel in town like you sometimes can. I went home for supper and left my deputy here.
They broke in then?
Yep. Got my deputy just as he was coming down from taking Eli's supper. Slugged him and got the key. He didn't even get a look at it. Oh, I never should have left.
Yeah, you couldn't have known. The thing we've got to do now is...
Somebody awful excited about it.
Why, it's Ernie Matthews.
Sheriff, I've been trying to call you.
Well, what is it, Ernie?
Let me catch my breath. That boy had in jail.
Yeah, what about him?
They got him.
Who?
Scum, nothing but scum. Ralph Dean, the rest of his crowd. They're crazy, Sheriff. Plum crazy.
Where were they heading?
I don't know. I was out cutting wood back in my place, saw him riding past. Got the boy. They're crazy.
They going away from town past your place?
Yeah, yeah.
Probably Graham Woods, Jace.
Come on, Sheriff. Show us where it is. The sheriff drove ahead and we followed. When we got as far as we could by road, we unloaded the horses and the sheriff pointed out Graham Woods. Clay and I started out. 5 minutes later, we were entering the woods. Just getting dark as we picked up the trail.
Tracks seem to lead right into the woods, Jace.
Yeah. Hope we're not too late.
At least we won't have any trouble getting the ones that did it.
That's not enough. We got to save that boy's life.
Oh!
Jace!
Over there, to the left.
Yeah, get up. Come on.
We ride in as close as we can, then make the rest of it on foot.
Wouldn't it be faster if we went all the way on horses?
Yeah. If they hear us coming, they'll kill Eli and take off before we get there.
They're probably too busy to hear anything.
They won't take the chance. We'll have to be close enough. We'll check.
Flashlight.
Go easy, Clay.
Yeah.
Please listen to me. I didn't kill Miss Dean. You gotta listen to me.
All right, Chief. Like the boys want you to have your last say, Eli. All right? Go ahead. Talk.
That's Dean.
Uh-huh.
What are you waiting for, Eli? You wanted to talk? We're listening.
I know it ain't no use, Mr. Dean. But I tell you again, I didn't kill Miss Dean.
What was your coat doing in my wagon?
I don't know, Mr. Dean. Honest, I
don't know. Your coat was in her hands and you ran away.
Mr. Dean! Honest, I didn't.
That's enough for me. What about you, boy?
Don't kill me! Don't kill me!
You got your rope ready?
Please! Please!
All right, put him on the horse.
No!
Let's take them, Clay.
Right with you.
Hold it. All of you. Drop those guns.
Ranger.
I said drop those guns. That's better. Now, all of you, stay where you are. Untie Eli, Clay. Get him down off that horse.
Right. All right, Ranger. You stopped us. What for? He's going to die anyhow.
He never had a chance to prove his innocence, Dean.
He's a murderer, ain't he? He killed my wife.
I'm not so sure of that.
You found his coat in Ethel's hands. What more do you want?
It could be Eli didn't leave that coat.
What are you talking about, Ranger?
Let me see your hands, Dean.
What for?
Let me see them. No, the back. How'd you get those bruises on your knuckles?
Well, they're from pulling stumps yesterday.
You sure they didn't get bruised from beating up Eli?
You're crazy. I never beat him up.
Maybe you waited till Eli came in from work, accused him of killing your wife, beat him up, and let him get away so you could get your gang of hoodlums after him.
That's a lie. I never seen Eli. I was working in the fields all afternoon, alone.
Eli says he was the only one working in the fields yesterday.
Oh, he does, eh? Well, whose word are you going to take? Mine?
Wait a minute, Dean. We might be able to prove Eli was in the fields.
How?
He said he killed a rattlesnake. We found it where he said it would be. If our lab says it was killed yesterday afternoon, it's pretty good proof.
You trying to railroad me?
You know better than that. But you got to prove where you were yesterday afternoon.
What I got to prove anything for?
Because if you don't, you got a murder charge against you for killing your wife.
You hear that, boys? You're going to stand here and let him take sides against us?
No. The only side I'm taking is the law of Texas. Come on. You're going back to town.
I ain't going nowhere.
I said come on.
Hey, come. You ain't taking me.
No. Get up, Dean.
All right, the rest of you. Come on. Stop moving. Go.
Get up. Hey. You're going to get something you tried to keep Eli from having. A fair trial. Go on. Eli?
Yes, sir?
You walk with me.
Yes, sir.
In just a moment, we will tell you the results of the case you have just heard.
There's fine entertainment every day right here on the NBC Radio Network. Monday through Friday, you'll find interesting daytime programs on this station, too. There's fun with Walter O'Keefe as he quizzes his contestants on Double or Nothing. Listen and you'll find this one of the funniest programs on the air. And make it a note to hear the program of the heart, Strike It Rich. You'll hear people from all over the country on Strike It Rich and on Welcome Travelers, too. Maybe your neighbors will be the next guests on these fine programs, so keep listening every day, Monday through Friday, on NBC. In the Mad and Merry department, we bring you the Ralph Edwards Show on most NBC stations. Listen as Ralph plays Truth or Consequences with his contestants and brings you enjoyable listening. And Dave Garway brings you 15 minutes of music and humor each weekday. It's all for fun and fun for all when you tune to NBC Daytime Radio. So make it a day to brighten your household chores with a fine program sent your way every day on this station of the NBC Radio Network. And now, back to Tales of the Texas Rangers.
And now, here are the results of the case you have just heard.
Laboratory investigation of the rattlesnake upheld Eli Wilder's story. Faced with this and other evidence, Ralph Dean confessed to killing his wife after a violent quarrel over money. The seven men who assisted in the attempted lynching were tried before a jury of citizens of their own county and given prescribed jail terms. Dean, convicted of murder, was sentenced to life imprisonment at Huntsville.
Next week, Joel McRae in another authentic reenactment of a case from the files of the Texas Rangers. Cast included Tony Barrett, Vivian Baber, Bob Davis, Parley Bear, Herb Ellis, and Bill Johnstone. Technical advisor was Captain M.T. Lone Wolf Gonzalez of the Texas Rangers. This story was transcribed and adapted by Charles E. Israel, and the program was produced and directed by Stacy Keats. Hal Gibney speaking.
Next, The Big Show brings you drama, comedy, and music on NBC.
Tales of the Texas Rangers on Tuned to Yesterday from February 17, 1952 on NBC. You're listening to an hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Actor Parley Bear portrayed the sheriff in that last broadcast, and now he's Deputy Marshal Chester Proudfoot in an episode of Gunsmoke. William Conrad as U.S. Marshal Matt Dillon from April 8, 1956 on CBS, using a script that would later be used for the TV series in 1958 called Widow's Mite.
Gunsmoke. Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely. You stay with the horses, will you, Chester?
Yes, sir.
I won't be long.
I sure don't envy you having to talk to her, Mr. Dillon.
Well, somebody has to do it.
I don't understand that, Zach Morton. It's good land out here. There's a nice little house, water, everything. Why do you have to go trying to get rich the hard way?
And I guess it never looks hard, though, to try it.
Mr. Dillon, Ada's seen us. She's come out onto the porch.
Oh, yeah. Hello, Ada.
Marshal Dillon.
Ada, I sent a man out here a few days ago to tell you what happened to Zach.
He told me.
Well, I kind of thought you'd come in to Dodge.
No,
They had to bury him, Ada. I'd have brought him out here, but I was off chasing his partner.
Did you catch him?
He was killed swimming the Cimarron.
He killed Zach right on Front Street.
Well, I had no choice, Ada.
I told him not to go back to town. I told him you'd probably have found out who robbed that express office. I said you'd be looking for
him. I'm sorry it happened, Ada. For your sake.
Zach turned bandit, Marshal. I lost pride in him for a long time now.
Ada, there's been some talk going on in Dodge.
What are they saying?
Well, everybody thinks that Zach brought the money out here and hid it. I think you know where it is.
Is that what you think, Marshal?
Well, they could have been headed south with it, riding bold and innocent-like right through Dodge. The money could be at the bottom of the Cimarron with Zach's partner.
Zach went bad, Marshal. I hated him for it. That's why I didn't come to town when he got killed.
Yeah. Well, I won't bother you anymore, Ada. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Marshal.
What'd she say, Mr. Dillon?
I don't think Ada knows anything, Chester.
Well, he buried that money out here somewhere. There's no man to be fool enough to ride back into Dodge with it. I think that woman's fooling you, Mr. Dillon. I think she knows where the money's at.
Chester, let's ride back as far as the creek and build us a fire, huh? I'm hungry. Here's another strip of meat that's about done, Chester.
Well, that's yours, Mr. Dillon. I ate the last one. Hey, look.
What?
We got company. It's that Leach Fields fella.
Leach Fields? Well, who's he?
Well, he got off Santa Fe one day while you was down on Cimarron. But I don't know for sure where he comes from or wonder what he's doing out this way. Now.
Is he a gambler?
Oh, I ain't never saw him gambling, but he sure dresses like one, don't he?
Yeah, he looks pretty fancy.
Yeah, oh, he's a gentleman, Mr. Dillon. A real gentleman. We don't get many like him. How do, Mr. Fields?
Hello, Chester.
Mr. Fields, this here is Marshal Dillon.
Well, it's a pleasure to meet you, Marshal. I've been looking forward to it.
Well, that makes you different from most men who come to Dodge.
Yes, I've been observing those men, Marshal. They're bad. They're evil.
Yeah, some of them sure are, Mr. Fields.
You do right to kill them, Marshal.
When I kill somebody, it's because I have to, not because it's either right or wrong.
Well, it was certainly right to kill Zach Morton.
Was it?
Of course it was. I'm on my way now to console his widow with that same thought, Marshal.
Oh?
Yes, we're old friends. Even though I haven't seen Ada in years.
Why did you know her, Fields?
Back in St. Joe.
Well, that's right. She is from St. Joe. I've heard her talk about it.
I'll buy you a drink when I return to Dodge, Marshal. Bye. Goodbye, Chester.
Bye, Mr. Fields.
Here. See what I mean about him being a gentleman, Mr. Dillon?
Your meat's burning, Chester.
You mean you don't think he's a nice fellow?
I said your meat's burning.
Sure is deserted today, ain't it?
It's fine with me, Chester.
I hear there's some cattle coming up the trail in a couple of days, though.
Well, that's a couple of days off. We'll enjoy ourselves while we can.
Yeah, sure. Well, forevermore. What do you know?
Oh, what is it?
Look, it's Leech Fields and Ada Morton.
Oh, yeah. hello, Ada. Fields.
Hello, Marshal.
How do?
Chester. Well, I've got good news, Marshal.
How's that, so?
Haven't I, Ada?
Let me tell him. We're going to get married, Marshal.
Married?
Tomorrow, right here in Dodge. I brought Ada in today so she could buy some clothes and things.
Ah, I see.
I know what you're thinking, Marshal. You're thinking it's awful fast with Zach gone only a couple of weeks.
Oh, it's no business of mine, Ada.
Well, it's not so fast considering how we knew each other back in St. Joe and all.
Ada, you'd better run along now and do your shopping. I'll meet you at the Dodge house in about an hour.
All right.
Ada. I just wanted to wish you happiness.
Thank you. Leech is a good man, Marshal. He's a good, God-fearing man.
Well, that's quite a compliment, Fields, from a woman like her.
She's endured a lot of evil in her life, Marshal. I want to help her to forget it.
Look, Fields, the evil that you mentioned, that never brought her a thing. Not a thing.
Well, of course not.
What I mean is, it didn't bring her any money.
Money? From Zach? That'd be tainted money, Marshal. I wouldn't touch it, and I wouldn't allow her to. Now, what about that drink I promised you?
No, not today, Fields. I'm pretty busy. But I'll be waiting for you next time you come to town.
Well, I'm glad that meal's over.
Now, they got a new cook here, Kitty, didn't I tell you?
You didn't have to, Matt.
Oh, no, it wasn't that bad.
Wasn't it? Where'd he learn to be cook? Out poisoning wolves?
Good cook's hard to find.
Yeah, I'm sure of it.
Yeah, long hours, not much pay.
If he doesn't like the job, why doesn't he go back to oil and leather or whatever he was doing?
Well, if he could hear you, I expect he would.
Well, hello, Matt. Kitty?
Hello, Doc. Sit down.
Hello, Doc.
Thank you.
Oh. Where you been the last couple of days?
Oh, out in the country, Kitty. Waiting for a baby to make up its mind. Say, I passed by Ada Morton's place on my way back, Matt.
It's been Ada Fields for the last month, Doc.
I know.
Well, how are they getting along, Doc?
I didn't see Ada, but Leech Fields was there.
So?
You know how nice he usually is, Matt? He's so gentlemanlike and everything, but he wasn't this time. Oh, no, he acted like he didn't want me around. He wouldn't even invite me into the house.
Well, maybe he was busy.
Oh, yeah, he was, but he was sitting there on the porch doing nothing. Matt, I don't like it. I've got a feeling something's wrong out there. You better go and have a look.
He's sitting right there on the porch, Mr. Dillon, just like Doc said.
Yeah.
Of course, I always did think Doc's just an old worrier.
Hello, Fields.
Good afternoon, Marshal.
Chester.
I don't feel...
What are you doing way out here?
Ah, we were riding by. We thought we'd say hello.
Well, I'm glad you did. I'm sorry you missed Ada, though, Marshal. She's going to be mighty disappointed.
Where is she, Fields?
I don't know. She got on a horse this morning and said she was off to visit some neighbors.
Mm-hmm. Didn't she say who?
She wants to go visiting. I don't ask her where. I trust Ada.
Yeah, sure.
I'd ask you in, Marshal, but one thing she did tell me was if anybody rode by, not to let them see the house. She didn't take time to clean it up, and you know how women are.
Well, we got to go back to Dodge anyway, Fields. You tell her hello for us.
Yeah, I'll do that, Marshal. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye, Mr. Fields.
Goodbye, Chester.
Well, now, he wasn't acting mean, Mr. Dillon.
Chester.
Hmm?
Did you ever hear of a country woman riding off and not telling her husband where she's going?
Well, no, sir, come think of it, I never did.
You bet you didn't. Over here, Chester.
I couldn't see you behind this bush, Mr. Dillon.
Did you find a place to tie the horses?
Yes, sir. There was an old log down in that gully. Have you saw anything?
Well, as soon as we were out of sight, Fields left the porch and went into the house. And nobody's come out yet.
Well, I still think you're wrong about him, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, maybe I am. Maybe I just don't like men who go around preaching how bad other men are.
You're awful suspicious of everybody, Mr. Dillon.
Well, Chester, nothing pleases me more than when I'm wrong.
I know. How long are we going to have to lay out here in this doggone dirt, Mr. Dillon?
It'll dark, if nothing happens before.
Then what?
Then we're going up to that house, Indian style.
It ain't hardly noon. We've got an awful long wait. Say now, maybe I'll just...
Wait a minute. Hmm? Look.
It's him. He had a horse around back.
Yeah.
He's riding north. We gonna follow him?
Maybe. After we take a look in the house, let's get our horses.
You're going to have to bust that door open if you want in, Mr. Dillon.
And I'll bust it open. Come on.
I feel like a crook entering a man's house this way.
Don't let it bother you, Chester. Let's take a look in the bedroom.
You're going to bust it open, too? Guess you are. Hey, look on the bed, Mr. Dillon. He's got her all tied up.
Yeah. You untie her feet, Chester.
Yes, sir. Oh, dear. See, she looks sick.
Oh, Marshal.
You all right, Ada? Have you been hurt?
No, Marshal. Starved.
Starved?
Nothing to eat. Not for days. Weeks.
Oh, my goodness.
Take a look in the kitchen, Chester. See if you can find something for her.
Yes, sir, I sure will.
Where did Leach Fields go, Ada? We saw him ride off.
He wanted the money, Marshal. He starved me so that I'd tell him.
And you finally gave in? You told him?
He's gone to dig for it. Inside that old sod hut up near Willow Spring.
Oh, yeah, I know where it is.
If he don't find the money... He's coming back to kill me, Marshal.
Look, Ada, we're going to leave a rifle with you. You think you're strong enough to use it?
I'll get strong enough. I'll use it.
Ada, you never knew Leech Fields before, did you?
No, I only said it so it would look better marrying him so quick.
Yeah, I thought so. I'll go help Chester now, and as soon as we can feed you something, we'll go after him.
He seemed so good, Marshal. He seemed so good for a day or two.
All right, this is far enough, Chester.
It's so dark, I can't hardly see nothing.
Now, he's in there. You can hear him digging. Listen.
I hear him. We gonna rush him?
I'd like to take him alive, if possible.
Well, you will wait for him to come out.
No, right? Let's jump him. Maybe it'll scare him so bad he won't put up a fight.
All right.
Now, you walk about 10 feet to the left of me, Chester. Mm-hmm. I'll go inside alone. If he takes me, will you get him, huh?
Yes, sir.
I got the drop on you, Fields. Don't move.
What are you doing here, Marshal?
Get your hands in the air.
Well, sure. Sure. But I don't understand.
Don't be a fool! All right, Chester.
You get him, Mr. Dillon?
It's too dark in here. I tried for his shoulder the first shot, but I missed.
You sure he's dead?
I couldn't afford to miss the next two, Chester.
No, sir. No, Mr. Dillon, I sure was wrong about him.
Yeah.
I guess he didn't find the money, though, did he?
He would have, if there'd been any.
But this is where Ada said it was.
You want to start digging for it, Chester?
Well, no, sir.
That money's at the bottom of the Cimarron with Zach's partner.
Well, then why'd she say it was out here?
Well, I guess she thought if she could get rid of Leech Fields even for a little while, she might have a chance.
Well, she was right, wasn't she?
Yeah. And you and everybody else had better start believing in Ada. She's been through enough over something that she never even knew anything about.
Man sure can be wrong sometimes, can't he, Mr. Dillon?
Now, you tell everybody that back in Dodge, Chester. And maybe Ada can have a little peace. She's earned it. To kill a man in a fair fight or in self-defense wasn't too unusual on the frontier. But next week, a man kills to avenge the death of his brother without firing a shot. But that was the West. Good night.
Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Our story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Our thanks to TV Radio Mirror and to you, our listening audience, for again selecting Gunsmoke, the favorite Western program of the year. The results of this annual poll appear in the current issue of TV Radio Mirror. Join us again next week for another specially transcribed story on Gunsmoke.
Gunsmoke, on Tuned to Yesterday from April 8, 1956 on CBS, the same story used again on the television series on May 10, 1958. And that brings to a close this hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden age. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levanier. Thanks for tuning in.